ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So today, following in the spirit of this morning's class, we're going to have questions and answers. You can put whatever questions you like as long as it's related to Krishna consciousness. Please don't ask how many windows are in the Empire State Building. I don't know. And you can put whatever questions you like. I can't guarantee I'll answer them all. I'm not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as you probably understand. I don't know everything, but I'm supposed to know more than you, which is why I'm sitting here and you're all sitting there. So I'll try and answer your questions. So, does anyone have any questions? Anyone have any questions? Yep, sure. But you also need to have a mic, don't you? Otherwise you have to shout. You have to read this out here. How are we going to do this?
Da, ali ne znaš koje pitanje?
Znaš šta, onda ovako. Napravi za pitanje, onda meni možeš dati...
Kad on pročita, dajem tebi.
Da. First question. How to develop the relationships with Guru.
Kako poboljšati odnos sa gurom, to je prvo pitanje.
How to develop relationship with Guru.
How to develop relationship with Guru. Well, this is already discussed this morning in the class this morning. Relationship is on the basis of submission, service, and proper questioning. As Lord Krishna states in Gita, Tadviti Panipātena. Panipāt means offering obeisances. So first of all, that means taking an inferior position. Subordinate position. Pariprashnena, offering relevant questions, questions relevant to one's spiritual benefit. And seva, by service. So on this basis it's developed, these three principles. Submission, service, and inquiry.
Osoba koja mantra 16 krugova, slijedi četiri regulativna principa, izučava instrukcije svog duhovnog učitelja i živi izvan hrama. Mora li ta osoba još nešto činiti da ne bude isključena iz propovjedačke misije?
Person who is following the four regulative principles, chant the 16 rounds, and follow the instructions of the guru, does he need to do something more so that he can be disconnected from the preaching mission?
A person who chants 16 rounds Hare Krishna, follow the four regular principles, and follows the instructions of Guru, does he need to do more to be connected to the preaching mission? Well, everyone should think, I have to do more. No one should think that I've done enough, this is enough. What is the minimum I have to do to go back to Godhead? What's the minimum? Let me just do the bare minimum and the rest of the time I'll go to sleep or watch TV or something. It's the whole attitude which should be like, what can I do more? Rather than, what's the minimum? How can I do less? What's the minimum? Just like you try to get the cheapest. When you go to shop for something, you try to get what is the cheapest thing I can buy. The same thing at a cheaper price. Two bars of soap for the price of one. But our attitude should be that what can I do more rather than what less. So anyway, the order of the guru is, part of the order of the guru is to preach. Everyone in the Krishna conscious movement is supposed to preach. So there's always more to do. As long as there's one bug in the ground that's not Krishna conscious, we have got work to do. We've got the whole universe to preach to. There's always more to do.
Kako se osloboditi vezanosti za roditelje, prijatelje, mjesto rođenja i tako zvanu ljubav?
How to be?
How to?
How to be detached from the parents, friends, place of living?
How to be detached from parents, friends, place of living? Well, you might not be able to be detached. If you're living with your parents and your friends and the place you're living in, obviously some attachment, at least you're physically there. So in the Nectar of Devotion, we have Rupa Goswami's instructions that a devotee should not interact with the material world more than necessary, but at the same time, he should not be neglectful in worldly dealings. So just as much as necessary. Of course, parents, they expect a lot from their children. So not to be neglectful in worldly dealings may mean that you have to expect some reciprocation. It's a difficult question because it's different in every case. I mean, some parents, they're also favorable to Krishna consciousness and they become Krishna conscious after their children, or sometimes they become before their children. Or sometimes they're just neutral and they don't care whether you live or die. And sometimes they're against Krishna consciousness somewhat, and sometimes they're very much against Krishna consciousness. So it's different in every case. So I can't just say, there's no particular formula that you have to see in the situation. Better to, for someone's particular situation, it's best to discuss with someone who's very close to them and their situation and is competent to guide them. The general guidelines, Prabhupada gave, he wrote in one letter that you shouldn't fight with your parents, but at the same time, if they give you instructions that are against Krishna consciousness, don't follow them. So my interpretation of this is Mahatma Gandhi's policy. It means non-violent non-cooperation. That's how he dealt with the British. You don't fight with them as much as possible. But at the same time, if they want to force you to eat meat, you very politely just don't do it. That's all. As much as possible, it's difficult. It may be difficult, but as much as possible, we should try not to agitate them. I remember many years ago, actually I joined the movement and I wasn't living at home before I joined, and I was in another country, and my father's house was in England, but I was in Ireland. So there wasn't any temple in Ireland at the time, so I came to England just to see the temple and Hare Krishna. So, when I came back from Ireland to England, I went to my father's house and told him I was going to join the Hare Krishna movement. And, I was already out of his control, so to speak. But then after joining, even though the temple was only like, it's only 15 minutes drive from his house, I never went there, never phoned him, no contact. But then actually our GBC said that at that time there started to be some pressure from journalists and this kind of anti-cult thing. Some parents were disturbed and they were making bad reports in the newspapers. So then our GBC at that time recommended that we write letters to our parents, and I've been doing it ever since, although my father's never shown any more interest in Krishna consciousness than the first day I told him I was joining. He's still not, he wasn't interested, he's not interested, but at least he's not against. And he can't complain that I've just abandoned him. I mean, I keep more contact with him than I did before
I join the movement, actually, which is, I write to him once a year or something like that. And see him once a year and write once a year. And that's it. And there's nothing. But anyway, he's more or less satisfied. So you have to see, the thing is that the parents expect something from their children. Now, if they're very much against, there may be some cases where there's no communication or something, but even from, even in such a case, then the children, they should try to keep the doors open. There's no, we don't gain anything from having our parents against us, or, so it's best to try and, pacify them as much as possible. And in many cases, we find that parents who are in the first case against Krishna consciousness, gradually over a period of time, they accept the fact that their children are, they're in the Hare Krishna movement, and they may even come to appreciate it. When we're young, we tend to be hot-headed more. It's easy to say, but it's not always so easy to put it into practice. But it's generally better to have a cool head than a hot head.
Zašto većina bhakta uvijek kasni, što je glavni razlog tome?
Why the most devotees are always late?
Late?
Late. Always coming too late. What's the reason?
You're talking about me coming late this morning? Well, it wasn't my fault. I was speaking to my godbrother, Radha Krishna, who I hadn't seen for some time, and that's why I was late. I'm sorry. As for others, you can ask them. We should be more punctual. We should use our time in Krishna's service. Be on time. Go and live in Germany. Become punctual. What time is prasadam?
Does it help prasadam and association with devotees to someone who is mad?
Someone who is what?
Mad.
Mad?
Rude.
Someone who is mad?
Yeah, rude. Mad. Crazy. Prasadam and the association of devotees.
Oh, people who are crazy. Will prasadam and the association of devotees help?
Chanting
in the association. Prasadam will help anyone in any situation. Chanting will help anyone. Association for someone who's very crazy, they can't appreciate at all. But even then, there may be some help. Krishna consciousness is always auspicious. Prabhupada wrote in one letter that that chanting is the best medicine for a disturbed mind. Practically every, in modern age, that's the main symptom of Kali Yuga. Everyone has a disturbed mind. So it will certainly help. At the same time, if someone is very much disturbed, as Prabhupada said, our temples are not meant for lazy or crazy people. So, if someone is very much disturbed and they can't function on a reasonably normal level, then they may, temple or the society of devotees may not be best for them. It may be better for them to have professional psychiatric treatment. But certainly chanting, it's always auspicious. Chanting, prasadam, all these things. But someone who's very much mentally imbalanced, it's not going to change them overnight. The effect they get from hearing the chanting is permanent. But in their present disturbed condition, it may take some time. So it's better that in our movement we concentrate on trying to help those who are more ready and more prepared to come forward in Krishna consciousness.
Na koji način pronaći u sebi put sa pozitivnim razmišljanjima i osloboditi se negativnih misli?
In which way to find the best way for ourselves for positive thinking and to reject all this kind of negative thinking?
Positive thinking and negative thinking. Well, actually, we should be positive. It's why not be positive? If by chanting Hare Krishna you can go back to Godhead, which you can, then why not be positive? Everything in the material world is negative, but why not be positive? Why not be hopeful? I mean, we all go through these different mental transformations, and we all go through things which may cause us to feel depressed or setbacks and crises and all. But if we personally, I always think, well, whatever happens, Krishna's God. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and He wants to help us. And Prabhupada's given us the process. So even if I go down, you know, we all have ups and downs. So even in a down, the process is still there. Krishna's still there. You can always take shelter of Krishna. So why be depressed? Why be negative? Why think negatively? We have great hope. Krishna is always willing to help us. So it's not a matter of a very complex mental transformation. You just remember Krishna, that's all. It's very simple. Krishna consciousness is very simple. Just remember that Krishna is our best friend and Krishna is always ready to help us. Then why, if you know that, then where's the reason to be unhappy? Sometimes we're accused, our movement is accused of being negative, because we say this material world is miserable. But that's not negative or pessimistic. But it's intelligent to be pessimistic about this material world, because it is a place of misery and suffering. But at the same time, we're very optimistic that by chanting Hare Krishna, we can go back to Godhead. So we are optimistic, actually.
Be short. The person who is asking this question wants some sign, guarantee, that he will get the right answer about ISKCON. Because during all this time, he didn't get a proper answer on his question.
Well, I can't give a sign or a guarantee. I mean, he may want an he may want an answer. He may not like the answer I give, but that's that. I don't have to become the servant of someone because he doesn't like the answer. Whatever answer is there, he can either take it or leave it. If he doesn't like it, that's up to him. Whoever it is. Yeah, then?
Pitanje, kako bi se najkraće uvjerili nekoga da je Hare Krishna pokret najvjerodostojnija religija i da je to vrhovno biće, a ne neki moj ili tvoj, naš ili vaš pokret?
What is the shortest way, how can we convince someone that Hare Krishna is the bona fide religion and that there is no my and your and their God?
There's no what? Maya?
Mine, or yours, or their God, in a short way.
In a short way, or a long... If you can convince them at all, that's one thing. Never mind about short way or long way. One thing is that many people, they may not want to be convinced. If they don't, they may not want to listen, and how are you going to convince them? You want some signed, guaranteed formula that when you meet some religious fanatic on the street, that you can just some short way, you say three words and then they agree with you. There's no such thing. Preaching's not so easy. It's like in a war, if you say that we need a guaranteed short way, that just by firing one bullet the whole war will be finished and we'll conquer over the enemy. It's not like that. Preaching means that there are all kinds, just like in a war, there are all kinds of different situations. And you can't, when you say how can we convince someone, well, you have to see in each situation what is the person's mentality. It's not any fixed formula. But basically we have to say, if we're going to discuss what is the nature of God, then we have to refer to Shastra. We have to refer to Shastra because that is the authority on understanding God. As far as God being one, then if anyone has any understanding of God at all, then they should be able to understand that God means supreme. So there's only one supreme. It's not a very difficult thing to understand. There's only one God. Now people may say that Jesus is God and only through Jesus or only through Allah. If they're so much fanatical like that, then what can you do? But one thing we can understand, that if God's actually the supreme for the whole universe, then he doesn't just appear to save a few people in one planet and one part of time. Or if God's really all merciful, then he doesn't reject those who don't follow one particular path. Just like we hear sometimes Christians say, if you're not a Catholic or you have to go to hell forever. Did you ever hear that? When I was brought up as a Catholic too, so around the age of 12, I thought, well, that's not very good. And if he sends you to hell forever, that how is he all merciful? What kind of God is that? I mean, even my own father, he punishes me when I do something wrong, but he doesn't punish me eternally. He always gives me another chance, and he's not God. He's just my father. So actually, if God is all merciful, then he'll certainly give you more than one chance. So people who have these ideas, they have very small ideas of God. If they think that God is so cruel that if you're not born in a Catholic family or you don't convert to the Roman Catholic Church during your life, then you burn in hell forever. To tell you the truth, if that was the nature of God, I'd rather burn in hell. I wouldn't want to see him. If that's God, what kind of a person is that? Where's the mercy? But like I said, it seems to me that you're talking about religious fanatics and whoever said this is somewhat frustrated in dealing with them. But the thing is that we're not recommended even to deal very much with such people. Why should you bother? Why should you waste your time? They're not listening to you. They're not interested in listening. So what's the point? There are so many people who are interested, so better talk to them. And those who are more open-minded, they'll appreciate that we're actually, this movement is a God-conscious movement. There are many Christians who appreciate this movement, that will, as some have said, that it has the spirit of the early Christians, living simply, focusing everything on God. So those who are actually interested to understand God, they'll appreciate this Christian consciousness movement. And those who are not, well, it may take them some more time, but the thing is we can't force people to accept what we have to say. If we ourselves follow the principles of Krishna consciousness very purely, and we're convinced, we know the Shastra, then there's some chance of convincing others. But every preacher knows that there are many people you can't. They're not ready to listen. So with such people, we don't. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, wherever you go, wherever you meet, tell them about Krishna. So we have to see how to apply that in each situation. For some people, it may be just you say Hare Krishna to them, give them some prasadam. Not everyone's ready to be convinced. Otherwise, if people are ready to open-mindedly listen to what we have to say, there's no problem to establish that what is the meaning of God? God means supreme, therefore he's supreme in all qualities such as all opulence, aishvaryasya, samagrasya, viryasya, all power, all fame, yashasya, sriya, all beauty, all knowledge and all renunciation. There's no difficulty to understand the definition of the scientific definition of God as given in the Vedic literatures. And there's no problem to understand that God doesn't belong to a certain sect, but God is God for everybody, and that he manifests his mercy in different ways and different parts of the universe at different times and places through different, either he comes personally or speaks through his representatives. What happened? So there should be no, if people are open, anyone who's open-minded can appreciate that when Muslims or Christians speak about God, And when we speak about God, is this all right? That we're speaking basically about the same person. So that wasn't a short answer. There may not be a short answer. I'm sorry, it's not guaranteed and it's not signed. There's no such thing. Preaching means that you speak to people and try to convince them, but you may not. Prabhupada, the greatest preacher in the history of the world, preached to so many people. Were they all convinced? Did they all change their lives and minds? Only a very few. So how can you demand a signed, guaranteed method? That means you don't know the first thing about preaching. Preaching means you simply try, that's all.
Kako možemo spriječiti um da vrši uvrede?
How can we stop our mind to protect also our senses?
It's a gradual process to purify the mind. Our mind is addicted to sense gratification for many, many lifetimes. So, along with sense gratification comes the envious attitude of criticizing others, making offenses to others. A good protection is to regularly hear and understand what is the effect of offenses. Education. In Krishna consciousness, hearing is very important, because by hearing, we gradually change our values of life and the behavior based on that. So we should regularly hear. Or if we feel we have a particular problem in making offenses, then we should make some conscious effort to change that and pray to Krishna to help us in that regard. Offenses are very dangerous.
We can see that in ISKCON relationships between devotees are not so nice.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I'm in ISKCON, I have a lot of nice friends, nice relationships. Maybe it's just you. Did you translate that?
Yeah.
What I just said? Yeah.
Nema dovoljno poštovanja, brige niti prijateljstva.
There is no enough respect, care, and friendship.
Kao što je rekao jedan katolički svećenik, mi imamo sve savršeno, filozofiju i tako dalje.
Like one Catholic priest said, we have everything perfect, like philosophy.
Ali nemamo bratstvo kao što oni imaju.
But we don't have brotherhood like they have.
I don't necessarily agree with this. What is their brotherhood? You come together and eat meat? What is that? What's the value of that brotherhood? They also have brotherhood. What's the value of that? We all come together and chant Hare Krishna. Is that not brotherhood? If whoever is asking this question is a member of ISKCON, and my response to you is, what are you doing about it? If you perceive there's a problem in relationships, then you yourself set a good example. You make good relationships. You can't just blame other people. It's a two-way street. You set a good example, and others will follow. And if they don't, well, at least they're chanting Hare Krishna. The chanting Hare Krishna purification comes. It's easy to have brotherhood when there's some kind of mutual sense gratification. But what is the value of that? Actually, devotees, we're all under a lot of pressure because we're all straining and trying to control our senses and serve Krishna to the best of our capacity. It's not easy to live a life of Krishna consciousness considering our backgrounds and considering the whole society we live in. So there may be some strain. It's not unusual, but then We all have to try and help each other. If there was no brotherhood, a very, very sweeping statement, there's no brotherhood, then how are we all here today? How are we all living? Some living in tents, and why have we all come here? What for? Does everyone feel they hate each other? Does everyone here feel they hate all the other devotees here? I see devotees embracing each other, happily chanting together. I mean, there may be problems. There always will be problems. But I wouldn't go so far as to say there's no brotherhood. We shouldn't talk ourselves into it. We're talking about being depressed and all this. We shouldn't talk ourselves into a depression and say that, oh, there's so, ISKCON so bad, and there's so many problems, and it's all hopeless, and we might as well just go and become kamis and drink wine and eat meat again. What's the use? This kind of negative talk doesn't help anybody. Sure, there are problems, but there's also chanting Hare Krishna. That if you chant Hare Krishna once, that means that's the most significant thing you did in millions of lifetimes. What to speak of chanting regularly, day after day. As long as you're in the material world, there are going to be problems. Even you see, you read Krishna book, even in Dwarka, with the whole Samantaka jewel thing, even in Dwarka there was argument, quarrel, politics, murder. Krishna was here in Vrindavan, and so many demons were coming to attack. There were so many problems. But the residents of Vrindavan always took shelter of Krishna, so this movement is meant for that. If severe problems are there, we should see, and we should try to overcome them in a level-headed way. But just to say that it's so many problems, and it's all so bad, talking like that doesn't help anyone. Why don't you see the good thing? You say that devotees don't relate with each other and this and that. They're chanting Hare Krishna. They weren't doing a few years ago. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't it a wonderful thing that so many people, especially mostly young people, they're coming here to chant Hare Krishna? It's generally youth, you think, that how to enjoy your senses more. This is the time. Sometimes people tell us, don't spoil your life, you'll regret it later. While you're young, enjoy. You won't be young forever. If you want to be religious, wait till you're 70. Now you should enjoy. But no, the devotees, they have a higher goal of life. They've committed themselves to a higher purpose of life. Going against the whole pressure of modern society. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. And devotees saying, we're not interested in this. We want to chant Hare Krishna. So isn't that a wonderful thing? Now we should improve on that, but we shouldn't just see that it's all black and miserable. It's not at all. It's basically, our movement is bright and blissful. And there are some problems also. That will be there. That we have to see. But basically, our movement is a very happy movement. I don't see anyone else rising at 4 o'clock in the morning and dancing. Who's doing that every morning? That's how I knew. I came to the temple first time, and I stayed overnight, and there were so many discussions. And when I saw devotees dancing at 4:30 in the morning after taking a cold shower, which I never even heard of before, I never dreamed there was such a thing. And cold shower in the winter. And then they're dancing for the pleasure of God. I knew that this is genuine. It must be. In fact, I heard a story once that, you see, in Australia, we used to distribute these magazines, and they used to show devotees on the farm communities. And there was one picture in particular. There were a group of devotees going on a horse cart, and they were all smiling, and they had a dog with them. And even the dog looked like he was smiling, and someone was saying,
See, even a dog smiling. I can't believe it. And then later, it was reported in the newspapers there were some problems in our movement and this and that. And they said, yeah, now I accept it's a bona fide religious movement. There's some problems. if there aren't any problems, there must be some kind of cover-up or something. Now, see, they have some problems. That means, yeah, they're a real religion. That was it. One person's perspective.
Kako živo biće može imati slobodnu volju kad je Krišna uzrok svih uzroka i vlast strane se ne pokuša da se Krišna ne može.
Free will, if we know that Krishna is the cause of all causes, even the labor breast can be moved.
Krishna is the cause of all causes, and by Krishna's will, he gives you a little free will also. You have the independence to use or misuse your free will.
What is your mission, Guru Maharaj, and will Srila Prabhupada pay this special service?
What is my mission? I'm a servant of, trying to be a servant of Srila Prabhupada within his ISKCON movement. So, as a disciple of Prabhupada, all the disciples of Prabhupada and the subsequent followers in disciplic succession have inherited the mission of Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I've written in this book because people often ask me about this, so I wrote a book, My Memories of Prabhupada, that the only time I personally spoke to Prabhupada was when he gave me my Gayatri Mantra, in which I proceeded to make a complete fool of myself in front of Prabhupada. Specific mission, no, but Prabhupada gave many instructions, and many of his disciples have taken up particular areas. Just like we have Radha Krishna Prabhu, who's very much into this anashram dharma, alternative living. This is important for all the followers of Prabhupada. Two of the instructions of Prabhupada, because I was brought up in this movement on book distribution. I was doing book distribution and book production for many years, so I always wanted to be connected with that. One thing I also thought was that a good way to distribute books is to write them, because when there's a new book, many people buy it. So I'm also writing books which, as Prabhupada said, my disciples will write purports to my purports. So bringing together some of the instructions of Prabhupada in a systematic way, just like that beginner's guide or brahmachari book. Another thing, Prabhupada was, he put a lot of emphasis on preaching in India. And even though Prabhupada established his movement in the West, after doing so, basically he visited the West and he spent most of his time in India trying to get our movement established there. And he very much wanted some Western devotees to stay and preach in India, and actually not many have done so. In 1971, Prabhupada, at that time when there were only about 2,000 devotees in the movement, Prabhupada expressed that he wanted to bring 500 devotees to India for preaching, Western devotees. So, as I've spent a lot of time there and I'm accustomed to the culture and I know many people and I speak some of the languages, I don't think that Prabhupada would be very pleased if I didn't continue doing whatever I'm doing in India. Prabhupada also said that all of his disciples should make 10,000 disciples. He said all his sannyasis should make more disciples than him, write more books than him, and open more centers than him. It's a very big challenge Prabhupada has given. To complete even one of those three things doesn't seem possible in one lifetime. But Prabhupada's given us enough service to keep busy. And that, those orders come down also. It's not just his disciples, but grand disciples, grand disciples. They have to take up this mission of Prabhupada. We're all members of Prabhupada's family. We all have to work together to try to fulfill Prabhupada's desires.
What
is your opinion about healing the Reiki?
I don't know very much about it, actually. If it works, fine. Whatever heals is okay. We should be a little careful about. You see, in our movement, there's. We see from time to time there are fads and fashions, and devotees become very interested in some kind of, maybe some management scheme or health scheme, and for some time in our movement, the solution to all health problems was the board. That was probably before your time. Colonic irrigation. You sit on a board and you fill up your intestines with water and then you flush it all out. And this was the solution to long, happy life. And it seems like Reiki is the in thing now. All right. And probably after some time there'll be some other craze. Whatever it is, whether it's Reiki or whatever it is, Reiki or color therapy or herbal therapy or this and that, whatever it is, you're going to get sick and die anyway. That's guaranteed. So if something can help you to live more healthily, to serve Krishna, that's very nice. But like I say, we shouldn't become too much. There may be one or two devotees who specialize in this to help other devotees, but we shouldn't become too much enamored by these things. Basically, if we eat healthy food at regular times, in not too much, not too little, and lead a regulated life, and don't travel all over the world, then we should be healthy. Clean, not too much anxiety. And however you live, you'll have some sickness. In modern age, we're all brought up with bread made from white flour, canned foods, frozen foods, foods sprayed with chemicals, and you know, we have so many diseases. It's not surprising everyone's got so many diseases. The air we breathe is polluted. The water we drink is polluted, unless you buy it, and then you can get some water which came out of a spring about a month ago, which lost all its vitality by spending money. So it's not. We don't live in a very healthy society. What to do? Chant Hare Krishna.
What to do with our Muslim neighbors who are accepting us like Hare Krishnas, but they don't want to accept prasadam because we offer prasadam?
Maybe if you accept some of their food, they might be constrained to take some of yours, but then you can only take fruit. Maybe you can trick them. It might be difficult because they're quite wary of what's going on. Maybe if someone finds out an answer to this, they can let us know. It's not an easy thing. You might have to be content with them just accepting. That's pretty good, actually. You see, it's not that you can bring everybody up. People only go as, most people, they won't come further. We're talking about our parents and how we can make them devotees. You might just have to accept that they're not going to become devotees in this lifetime. Most of the people of the world may not take up Krishna consciousness very seriously in this lifetime. It's not that everyone we're living with, by the arrangement of fate, we may be living with parents, or we may be living with fellow students, or with neighbors. And naturally, a devotee thinks, how can we make them Krishna conscious? But We may just have to accept that it's not everybody that we come in contact with who's going to take up Krishna consciousness, and just accept them at that level and interact more with those who are more interested. I mean, even Prabhupada's own family, they were living with the greatest devotee in history, and they didn't take Krishna consciousness very seriously. In fact, one of his sons made a huge court case against our movement and said, all of ISKCON belongs to me, it's my father's property. You know about that? So, some tolerance and acceptance has to be there also.
To je glavni kriterij pri izboru guruva i da li je bitno da li se privučem učenicu na tog guruva.
Which criteria to choose a guru is most important? Is it important some attraction of the disciples of a particular guru?
Yeah. I wrote about this actually in this Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. Basically, all the gurus in our movement teach the same thing anyway. That you have to follow Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada taught us. Rise early, attend Mangalati, chant your rounds. All will teach the same thing. One of the basic teachings of our philosophy is that everyone's an individual. So there may be some qualities in an individual guru that you're more attracted to. There may be other considerations also. There's like some gurus, their service orientation is more towards book distribution, or someone else may be deity worship. So you may feel attraction that kind of service and be attracted in that way. There may be other factors also, that one you see the most, who's coming more often. So there may be so many different factors. That's a good criteria that's been put there. If you see that the disciples of a certain guru appear to be advancing very nicely, then you might think that they're getting some tangible benefit, and you might be inspired to in that way.
Neki mlađi bakte su neodgovorni prema toj službi. Uvijek izmišljaju neki novi svoj način kako služiti Krišnu i tako uznemiravaju druge s kojima surađuju. Što učiniti?
Some young devotees are irresponsible for their service, and in that way they're making disturbance in society. And what to do in these circumstances?
Young devotees means they need training. I know when I first came to the temple, I was asked to clean the floor, and my first reaction was, that's horrible, I don't want to do that. Some notion of spiritual life that you just float in the air and think of Krishna or something. So I wasn't doing very well, and the temple commander came up and told me, I'm going to show you how to clean for Krishna. And just this, wait a minute, and this is for Krishna. So that understanding may not be there in newer devotees. Therefore, training is required. That we should, as Prabhupada said, if something's worth doing for Krishna, it's worth doing properly. It's not like you're in a factory or something and you just try to do as little as possible, and so you can get your paycheck at the end of the week. It's not like that. We're here to serve Krishna. So we should do it nicely. That requires training. Training means that those who are giving the service, they show the devotees how to do it and preach to them about this. If it's generally understood that newer devotees are irresponsible, so generally they're not given much responsibility. They're given more responsibility as they advance in understanding of the need to serve Krishna properly.
Molim te, da li bi mogao malo detaljnije opisati nuđenje hrane Krišni? Zašto poredak slika božanstva takav kakav je? Smisao mantri na nuđenje, kako meditirati pri nuđenju, kako pri odnuđivanju hrane i slično?
Could you explain a little bit more in detail about offering the food to Krishna and why the about these mantras and meanings of these mantras and why these pictures are so important to be just in the right places like they are.
Još nešto? Mantre, slike, zašto moraš?
Slika, misla, mantre za nuđenje, kako meditirati pre nuđenje, kako prizuđivati.
How to meditate also when we are offering and how to meditate when we are finishing.
As far as the picture placement, well, that's a matter of etiquette, that Radha Krishna should not be below Gaur Nittai, because Gaur Nittai worship Radha Krishna. And the Guru's picture should be below Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they're servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then the Guru Parampara picture should be in order, because Prabhupada is the disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he was the disciple of Gaur Kishore Das Prabhu, so obviously they should be in order. Then, I believe it's in The Perfection of Yoga, or one of those small books, Prabhupada writes about how you can offer food. You simply bring the food before Krishna and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. In one lecture, Prabhupada said, as far as offering is concerned, he said, not much mantra required. You bring before Krishna and you say, Dear Krishna, please accept this offering. I'm very rotten and fallen, but you please accept it. So this mood about that, we bring something to Krishna. I'm not worthy to bring anything to Krishna, but anyway, Krishna, please accept it. What does Krishna say in Gita? That if anyone offers leaf, flower, fruit, or water to me with love, then I accept it. So it's not so much a matter of ding, 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 namam, Vishnu, padaya, okay, it's offered. It's not like that. It's not just that if you say some mantras, then Krishna is forced to eat it. But Krishna wants the love. So mantras are there. We generally, when we're offering bhog, we chant mantras to Guru, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Krishna, to invite them to take this offering that we've made to them. But it's not so much a formality of offering as the spirit that goes with it. As far as having the pictures are there, well, the pictures are non-different from Krishna, and we're offering to Krishna. Krishna's everywhere, but that's why we worship deities, or we have pictures which are also non-different from Krishna, because we don't perceive Krishna everywhere. So you can theoretically offer mentally, but that's why we have deity worship, because we don't perceive the presence of Krishna everywhere, but we do perceive His presence in the deity or in the picture. I hope that covered all the questions. The main thing is the attitude of offering. The deity worship there, the formalities are there. Why do we have any rules and regulations? Why just in deity worship or offering? Because our feelings are not very developed, therefore we have a system of Mangalarti, Japa, Tulsiarti, all these things, which engages us in hearing and chanting about Krishna. By hearing and chanting about Krishna, our feelings for Krishna are aroused. Those who are perfect devotees, they don't have to follow all these things, because their feelings are already there. But they naturally like to follow anyway, because chanting Hare Krishna is blissful for pure devotees. They like to do that. But we have a formal system to follow. Because otherwise, if we say just, well, you know, just chant Hare Krishna whenever you like, then we won't like. If we say just you can, whenever you feel like it, then we won't get up early in the morning, we won't do sadhana. So we have a fixed sadhana. This should be done. And if we don't do that in our neophyte stage, then we won't do anything properly, and we won't advance. So we have a fixed formula. When you're offering bhog, you do like this, ding, 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 ding. But for a pure devotee, then rules and regulations, formalities may not be necessary. There's this story of... There are several stories like this. So that I'm just thinking of Raghunandan Thakur, one devotee of Lord Chaitanya, when he was a
a child, his father had to go out on some. His father was a pujari. Everyone in those days used to worship deities. So his father had to go to some other village for some work or something. So then his father told him, now you have to offer the bow to the deity. So for the first time, he told, you have to do this. So then Raghunandan, his father showed him, and the next day when his father went away, he brought the plate in, put it, and he did all the formulas, the mantras, and he watched, and Krishna was there, and the plate was there. He told him, eat it. Why aren't you eating it? My father will be angry if you don't eat it. He told me to offer it to you. So he was asking Krishna, eat it. So Krishna ate it. Then it came out, and his mother said, where's the prasad? And Krishna ate it all. And so she thought, wait a minute, he's playing some tricks. So his father came and she told him, and he was thought, well, maybe there something's going on here. So the next day he said, I'm going away again. You offer again. So he left the boy to offer. Actually, he just waited outside the door, and the same thing happened. He saw his son is doing offering, and then he's again telling Krishna, eat it. And Krishna, father looked in the door, and Krishna's eating everything like that. So because he had so much desire that Krishna's eating by his eyes, but he wanted to see him eating with his mouth also.
Koji način osoba može opstati u sredini gdje nema bakta, a povremeno se druži sa baktama. Isto tako, na poslu je često izložena priča na osnovu, a pogotovo od okruženja sa kojim radi, izložena na tome učestvuje. U protivnom bi imala problema jer svi znaju da je ona Hare Krishna. Jedan od razloga je što je ona nekada dozvolila da čita Prabhupada knjige na poslu,
actually, how can we survive in an environment which is not Krishna consciousness, especially in our job, when people are speaking so much about sense gratification, and we cannot read the books in our offices? How to solve this?
Obviously, it's a very difficult situation you're talking about. We're advised to, as much as possible, be in an environment which is conducive to development of Krishna consciousness. At the same time, it's understood that it may not be possible for us always to be in such an environment. And such an circumstance, then it's up to us to call out for Krishna's help and try to be Krishna's conscious as much as we can. If we're in an environment which is so much detrimental, then it would seem that if at all possible we change our environment, if it's really such a very bad situation. But there are many devotees all over the world who work in karmic jobs, and they're devotees also, so at least when they come home they chant Hare Krishna. So it is possible. It's not possible always to change our the situation we're in. But if we're determined to be Krishna conscious, then no one can stop us. I mean, look at the situation Prahlad Maharaj was in. That wasn't an ideal environment for being Krishna conscious. But he remained Krishna conscious. Now we may say, well, that's Prahlad. I'm not Prahlad. Well, our situation isn't as bad as his, but these stories are recorded in Bhagavatam to give us some inspiration that under any circumstance, if we want to be, we can remain pure.
Kako možemo razviti dobru organizaciju kako bi se kultivirali ljudi koji se zanimaju svjesno Krishna? Hvala.
How can we develop a good organization so that we can cultivate a nice...
How can we develop a good organization? Prabhupada said that requires some intelligence. Mostly our devotees are people who are fed up with material life. That's the first qualification to be a devotee. So often our devotees are not very well organized people.
But that requires intelligence, patience. Patience means tolerance of, if we perceive the situation is not as good as it should be. From the inside, our movement, from the outside, our movement may not look as disorganized as it does from the inside. I know our temple in Bombay, people always praise, oh, it's so well organized, but if you know what's going on day to day, there's so many things going on. So, I mean, in many ways, our movement is well organized in the sense that how could it be spread all over the world unless, in the way it is, unless, there is some kind of organization. Otherwise, how there are so many books translated and printed and distributed in so many languages, so many centers all over the world, people coming together. I mean, you may say this summer camp's not very well organized, but I've heard it said, but at the same time, we have Mangalarti, we have seminars, and we have prasadam, so I mean, things are going on. I'm a little wary about being too organized, actually. We don't want to be like IBM or something. Like super organized. And organization is there, but it has to be... there's also individual expression also. We don't want to make everyone into some kind of robot or zombie.
How much the money problem is important in our spiritual life and how to surrender?
Prabhupada wrote many, many letters in which he stressed the importance of this morning program. How to surrender to it? Just do it, that's all. It's not, you don't sit around thinking, how shall I go to Mangalarti? How do you go? You go, that's all. How shall I go? You pick one leg up, put it down, pick the next one up, put it down, and head in the direction of the temple room. That's all. It's not a very difficult thing to understand. Just do it. You see?
Mnogi bi htjeli duže tvoje društvo i lekcije. Koliko bi još tu i da li ćeš popodne najveće biti ovdje?
So many devotees, they are wanting your association and lectures will be longer, and we are asking you how long you will be here. Today,
I'm supposed to be leaving at 6 p.m. this evening. I think it's better I go, because if you talk like this, I'll become very puffed up. The thing I thought is that you're asking about my service to Prabhupada. There are many things I want to communicate. So I thought that, how many places can you be in? How many places can you go? So for this purpose, I'm writing books, which I can't go everywhere, but the books can. So you can buy my books. This discussion about relationships and difficulties in living in society, this latest book I made, Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life, that indirectly gives a lot of information about this by giving a picture of a more or less ideal society. So then we have to see how to implement that. These communities, actually, we should work on developing this kind of culture. I think that's an important book. It gives some idea of the social direction our movement should be moving in. Because our movement, when it started, it was mostly devotees living in temples. There were very few devotees who were initiated and living outside. Very, very few. Now it's changing more and more. So it's getting that... Already, there in most places there are more devotees living at home than
living in the temples. So how to live, that we don't know, because we're brought up in a society which is based on sense gratification. So we have to, if we are to live relatively happy and happily in this world, then we have to adopt different values, different cultural values, and eventually we have to bring in a different social system. The modern social system is just training everyone how to go to hell, literally. It's encouraging people to become sinful demons, even though people in general, they're not so bad, but by the influence of modern society, people are becoming more and more sinful. And our devotees are also brought up in this society. So for our own sakes, for the sake of our own devotees, and for the sake of influencing the broader society, we really have to bring in different social values. So spiritual evolution is the only solution, as is written on this t-shirt. Spiritual evolution. It's not going to evolution means it's not going to happen in one day. It will take some time. We have to know which direction we're moving in. We also have to be very patient. I know there's a lot of some devotees within our movement or at the edge of the movement, or they've left our movement, they're very critical of our movement and this problem and that problem. Well, we are a new movement, and we are trying to bring in something completely different. We're going against the flow of the whole society. It's amazing. It's actually amazing that so many people are willing to take up a life of no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, not even tea or coffee, and dedicate your life to Krishna. It's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing that so many people are taking. Of course, it's not many in comparison to the whole population, but still, it's increasing all the time, more and more, all over the world. So we're a new movement, and we're trying to establish these values in a society which has got very different values. So it's not easy. And there are many problems. I was just discussing with Mata Krishna Prabhu, and how many people have we discussed it with? This whole family thing, marriage, and so many, generally more women join than men, and more women stay than men, and some of the men don't want to get married, and some of them are not fit to be married, and at the same time, women are supposed to have husbands, and they need them, especially when they get older, they feel very frustrated if they don't have them, and it's a social problem. What to do? There are no easy answers. So the devotees have to request you to be patient and understand that there are difficulties and we don't have the ideal social system. Please be patient. Whatever social or personal difficulties may be there, which are there and will be there, still we're getting the highest gift, which is Krishna consciousness. Whatever personal difficulties we may be having, or social difficulties as a movement due to immaturity or whatever it may be, still this movement is offering the process of chanting Hare Krishna and going back to Godhead, which in the long term, at the present time we may feel so many difficulties, but in the long term that benefit far, far outweighs whatever difficulties we may be having at this time. So if we can just tolerate, we may be in a difficult situation, we're having difficulties dealing with others or whatever it may be, but if we can just tolerate and go on chanting Hare Krishna, we'll ultimately get the highest goal. Then we won't have to come back again to this material world, which is a world of difficulties. So please, don't become disappointed, even though there may be causes of disappointment. But go on chanting Hare Krishna.
Ako imam prosadam jabuke od njih napravim kolač, da li ga mogu poloniti Krishna?
If I have prosadam apple and I make some cake, can I offer to Krishna?
You can. can, but it's not proper. You can't offer something twice. That's a basic principle. Once you offer to Krishna, then you can't offer it again.
Kako bolje, na bolji način približiti Krišnu mom sinu koji ima 14 godina. Nije rasta u svjetlosti Krišne i sve do sada promatra kao dio mene, ali ne i sebe.
How to make Krishna consciousness closer to my son of 14, he has 14 years.
Well, you can only try. There's no magic formula. It's the same thing. We're talking about the local Muslims or family members. You can only try. You can't force. Krishna consciousness is a voluntary thing. At the age of 14, young boys, they mostly like to eat. So if you can give nice prasad, that might be the best way. But if you try to force him, that will probably have the opposite effect. You may just have to accept that even though you want him very much to take to Krishna consciousness, he may not take to Krishna consciousness very much. He may do also, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. But these things you can't force. Even there are devotees who bring up their children, and their children grow up and they're not interested in Krishna consciousness. They spend their whole life, their whole childhood, bring them up, but when they get older, they become enamored by the modern society, and if they're brought up with devotee parents, they'll never be completely away from Krishna consciousness, but they may not want to follow. They may think that, let's enjoy life. So you can't force that. You just have to accept it.
Da li je u redu da ih pitamo za blagoslov kad želimo prići duhovnom učitelju?
If your parents devotees, is it alright to ask them for the blessings if we want, when we want to approach the spiritual master?
Oh yes. Certainly, if parents are devotees, you should consult with them. I have one disciple whose parents are initiated not by me, but his parents are not initiated by me. He is, of course. So he's a little rebellious in spirit against his parents, but I just tell him, your parents are devotees, you should just do what they say. Because they're devotees, they're not going to mislead him. That's very much part of our Vedic culture, actually, is following the parents. Now, we have difficulties in the modern age because mostly devotees' parents are not devotees. But in traditional Vedic society, it's very much part of society is to follow the parents, look after them in their old age, and so many things. Again, for further reference, see Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. That looks like a long question.
A mi stari smo posvjetljeni. Ili ćemo čekati sljedećih 10.000 godina da se to neki uspust.
Humility and simplicity is the sign of knowledge. But we can see also this pride is arising in devotees. I have to ask you for the second part.
Drugi dio? Posle ponosa ono što si...
Da li je važno na ovim osobinama raditi sada?
Is it important?
To svi, a ne samo da se prosvjetuju mlađi bakte.
Is it important stari smo kao for us to develop this
Is it important to develop humility? Is that the question?
No, not only for young
ones. Humility, simplicity, and other qualities, they are mentioned as the qualities of the knowledge.
Yeah.
So it's important that all devotees are becoming enlightened in these qualities, because sometimes it seems that only the young devotees should be educated, that the older are already enlightened. Only have to wait 10,000 years in order to all become enlightened by chance. The question is that
should the younger devotees also become humble?
Not only younger, but should
the older.
Should the older devotees become humble? The older devotees, the insinuation is that the older devotees are all puffed up. Or maybe it's because you're not humble, you're seeing them like that. Maybe it's because you're not humble, you're seeing them like that. All devotees are supposed to develop. Of course, humility is meant for everybody. At the same time, I was just talking about parents being respected. So similarly, those devotees who are older to us in terms of their years of practicing Krishna consciousness, they're also to be respected. And that is a social exchange. Those who are older devotees, it's their duty to give guidance and instruction to others. Now that may seem that it's not very humble. It doesn't seem very humble to sit on a seat like this and you all ask questions and I give the answers. And wherever I go, people offer obeisances. So it doesn't seem like it's very humble. So that's an austerity for those who are more senior to give austerity in the sense that it's not intrinsically suitable for developing Krishna consciousness to accept respect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amani na mani dena. Don't desire respect for yourself, give respect to others. But if you are to instruct others, then sometimes you have to chastise them, and you have to accept a respectable position, otherwise how can you instruct them? So, internally, at least those who are senior, they should be developing humility, otherwise you can't maintain it. If a devotee starts to think, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, if there's a problem in this regard, if whoever asks this question, if they perceive a problem in this regard, you don't have to worry, because either the devotee will rectify themselves or Krishna will make some arrangement to rectify them. But if a devotee becomes too much proud and mistreats the devotees or whatever, then if he doesn't rectify, then he can't stay in that position. Krishna won't allow him. So generally Krishna rectifies. If there's pride, Krishna rectifies by his arrangement. It's not your job to rectify senior. If you're junior to someone, it's not your job to rectify him. That's the job of his peers, superiors, Guru and Krishna. I'll just tell you one story. That one of my godbrothers, he always used to complain to me about another of my godbrothers. Whenever I used to see him, he used to say, this, that, he saw this, and that, and that, that, that. So one time I met him, and I thought, okay, now I have to hear all this again. So then he told me that I had a dream a few nights ago, in which I was speaking with Srila Prabhupada, and I was complaining about this godbrother, that he's this, and he's that, and Prabhupada said, that's okay. But Prabhupada, he does this, that's okay. But Prabhupada, he said this, that's okay. He went on and on like this, and then all of a sudden he noticed that he was sitting on the same level as Prabhupada. So then when he woke up, he meditated, he tried to understand what is the meaning of this. It means that by trying to take the, by judging that godbrother, he was taking the position of Prabhupada. In other words, Prabhupada was showing through this dream that it's not his job to rectify, it's not that godbrother's job to rectify the godbrother. If there's any problem, it's Prabhupada's job. And sometimes, I tell you, even sometimes when Prabhupada was present, some devotees, they were, in many ways, they were They were way off. And Prabhupada just let them go on. As one devotee commented, Prabhupada's policy wasn't to hang people, but to give them the chance to rectify, and if they didn't, they would hang themselves. We had sometimes GBCs who were hardly ever seen in the temple. What to speak of the morning program, they weren't even seen in the temple. And devotees would complain, and Prabhupada said, he's done so much service, give him another chance. One GBC, I remember, Sannyasi at that time, he had very big beads, and he had his hand in his bead bag, but he never chanted any rams. He'd walk around with his hand in his bead bag. He was never seen before breakfast time in the morning. Prabhupada kept him. He was still doing some service. Prabhupada kept him in the position. How can you understand? Of course, Prabhupada said that just before he left. Prabhupada said, now we should be more strict. He said, we allowed so many things just to get the movement started, but now we should be more strict. But you can see the point that, if we just have to, do you know that this hung, drawn and quartered? That's something I learned in my religious education. How in England they used to have fights between Catholics and Protestants. So one way they used to execute was them, they would hang them till they were half dead. And then cut them so they started bleeding. Then they'd finally chop their body into four. Hung, drawn, and quartered. So that isn't our policy with devotees. It's easy to find the fault and smash them. And throw them out. But the real thing is to rectify. That may require patience.
What is your advice for Sri Vishnupada's disciples in this moment?
My advice is, remember all the wonderful instruction and guidance he has given you. That is the real Vishnupada. We've heard it said that he said that Harikeshwami has died, but the Harikeshwami will never die, that person. That is his eternal position. Whatever is being manifested now is not his eternal position. So you should wait for some time, see what happens. Don't make any rash judgments. We have three Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, three sources of authority. So Guru means who represents Sadhu and Shastra. But it may be also, there are cases where there are even difficulties with Guru. And that is also mentioned in Shastra, written by one of our Sadhus, namely the Krishna Bhajanamrita by Narahari Sharkar Thakur, one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya. So he writes in that there have been problems with in those who have taken up the service of Guru in the past, and there may be in future, because it's the most difficult service of all, to constantly guide others, give yourself to others, set the ideal example. So he recommends that if there is some problem in this regard, that the disciple continue to respect that person. But if by chance he gives some instruction which is not in accordance with Sadhu and Shastra, that means other great acharyas in the past and other prominent disciples at present, Sadhu means this, then we should continue to respect, and we should, if possible, we may try to very respectfully remind him of the instructions that he gave in the past. And we should wait some time and take shelter of other sadhus also. not to do anything in a very rushed way. So this is actually something. One point we've been discussing among some of my God brothers in the last few weeks, even before this situation came up, is that generally in our movement, what's been going on is that we've been emphasizing the Diksha Guru very much, which is good, but we should also emphasize that all the senior devotees in this movement, and not only Prabhupada's disciples, but there may be even many senior devotees who are disciples of Prabhupada's disciples, who are mature devotees, and they're capable of giving good instruction. So actually all devotees should take advantage of all the instruction and all the association, all the guidance, as much as you can. Just like in a joint family, the children grow up they have their own father and mother, and then their father's brothers with their wives are living. So there are many children who are children of different brothers all living together, and they have their own father and mother, but they also have their uncles and aunts who they look up to practically the same as their own parents. So that we have to develop more. I think it's quite nice here in Croatia in that regard, isn't it? That devotees don't only look to their Diksha Guru, but you're very fortunate. Because there are so many nice devotees in this country that many of Prabhupada's disciples are attracted to come. So you're fortunate. So many sannyasis and other leading devotees are regularly visiting you. So take advantage of all of them. Look up to all of them. And then in time of difficulty, then you have a lot of association. It's not an easy situation for any of us in the movement. There are many things. We have to look at ourselves and see how we need to improve. Not an easy time. But at the same time, we should keep, like I say, take it as much as possible. It's a very difficult thing for the heart, but at the same time, as much as possible, we should take it in a level-headed way. And don't be impatient. And don't go to... There are many people, actually, who are call themselves devotees, who are very happy at all these at problems in ISKCON. They love it. And they love to broadcast it everywhere and tell others how bad ISKCON is. But of course, all these people only came to Krishna consciousness through ISKCON. And whatever they learned about Krishna consciousness, they learned from ISKCON. So there are people who say, ISKCON so bad, come and join our movement. As if the solution is just simply to leave this room, but it's not. And I see that these people, although they may offer you so many different things, but they don't have what ISKCON has. They don't. One thing, they don't have the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. They're mostly critical of Prabhupada. Subtly, in the beginning they'll praise, he's so wonderful. Then they'll say so many things. Actually, he doesn't know how to teach, and so many things. And they don't. Although they're very expert at saying how bad ISKCON is, but they don't have summer camps with training for devotees. They don't have programs to gradually help people come up in Krishna consciousness. I mean, there's so many devotees in this room are making so much sacrifice to help.